So about a minute to go in the game, the team physician, you know, said, you're done. We're going to take your helmet. You're not going to go back in. And immediately we went in to the locker room and got a CAT scan. And from there, it was kind of a blur, but I broke my neck.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners, homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063. In this episode, we have Tom Gerhart, president of Gerhart Financial Services. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I've known of you, but never got to meet or talk one-on-one like this, so I'm excited to learn about you and your life.
Great. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Perfect. Yeah, you and I kind of first met through Blue Cardinal Photography. I would do pictures at Cedar Crest.
Right.
You were a coach there at the time, and it wasn't until Chantel, shout out to Chantel, she recommended you as a guest. And said you should really, you know, have Tom Gerhart on, and I think it would be a good episode. So shout out to Chantel if you're listening. I'm sure you are because she listens to I think almost every episode. But I greatly appreciate that. So Welcome.
Well, I hope that I can live up to that for Chantel, right?
Yeah, she hyped you up a little bit. Yeah, she was saying some stuff, you know, because I haven't met her yet in person. So like Facebook message, and then she would then we started texting because she knows all these people, and she's like, look. You have a great thing going. It's local. It's all about the community here. You know, American Grown Podcast, you know, it doesn't cost anything to be on. And it's all local people. And it's giving them a platform to, you know, share their stories or their life lessons and their goals and such. So I got to ask you, I'm a big Eagles fan since the Brian Westbrook and Terrell Owens and Donovan McNabb. That's when I got into it. That was middle school for me when I started playing football at Cedar Crest. But I've been hearing that you are an Eagles player.
Yep.
Or you were an Eagles
player. I was, yeah.
But you're still on the list as one.
Still on the list, yeah.
It's official.
Yep.
That's awesome. And I don't want to just skip around too much, but like that experience for you, what was that like just briefly?
It was a great experience. One of those stories for me that I think you can only feel, I don't know, blessed, excuse me, to have that type of experience. And coming out of Ohio, where I went to college, I really wasn't sure what that next step was going to be, or if even if there was going to be one. And it took a while, but I ultimately got a tryout there and signed a contract with them and started that whole process for me of playing as a professional. And that's really where I started, was in Philadelphia. And you know what, being a hometown kid, it was just a special thing for me. It really was. And I think, you know, going into training camp, at that time, my first time, I don't really think anyone really thought too much that I would amount to much there. But I worked hard and stayed with it and had some good coaches, and I gave it everything I had. And I really had a good camp, and it was just a great experience there. It really was.
Yeah, and that would have been like 1992?
No. No. My first run there was in 1989 with Buddy Ryan and Jeff Fisher as the defensive coordinator. We had a stacked football team. I mean, you talk about Reggie White, Randall Cunningham.
The greats.
It was a loaded football team. Like I said, it was quite the blessing to be a part of that that football team.
So, okay. Wow. So we have Philadelphia Eagle in the house after coming off of a Super Bowl win. You know, it's just like, it's so cool. You know how things line up, you know, everything's kind of meant to be, I think, and how things happen in the world. Cause I knew you played college and I had heard that you were in the pros, but I didn't know, you know, where at. So the fact that you played local, like you said, right down in Philly is so cool. So let's dive in. Let's get some background, cause I want to cover two very important things. Obviously, you know, Gerhardt Financial Services, we want to talk about that, but also the AND Fund.
Right.
You know, that's really what we want to talk about. I know there's an event coming up the 29th of this month, so there's a lot to cover, but man, go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. So, Tom, let's start off. Can you tell us about your early days, you know, growing up here in Lebanon, PA, and kind of like what sparked your interest to get into finance service?
Now, that's a good question. You know, I was a normal kid here growing up in Lebanon and played all the sports, you know, baseball, basketball, football. And a funny story with football is I was eight. I may have been seven, but the kids in the neighborhood, Johnny Newmaster, they all played midget football, and they were trying to get me out, and my mom wouldn't let me play. So they all came over to the house, knocked on the door one day, and they said, "We promise he won't get hurt."
Okay.
So that was the start of playing football. And I also, I kind of felt a little privileged too, in that in my younger years growing up, I went to Lebanon School District. So in elementary school, I went to Henry Hauck, and I got a chance to meet all of the Lebanon kids. And then we moved.
Okay.
And that's where I went to Cedar Crest. And then I met all of the Cedar Crest kids. So when Cedar Crest and Lebanon played, although, you know, it's a big rivalry for sure.
Yeah.
But for me, it was homecoming, it felt like, you know, because I knew all the kids.
You knew everybody.
And it was a lot of fun. So that was kind of cool for me to have that experience in that game. You know, from there, I went to Salem College in my freshman year, and then I transferred to Ohio and played out my years there. And I wasn't sure what I was going to study at school. So I was a business major and ultimately found finance as something that was of a lot of interest to me. I liked those classes and felt like that's what I wanted to do, and put that on hold for 10 years after I came out because I was playing.
Yeah.
You know, I had that opportunity to continue to play, so I chose to do that. And then when I'm finished playing, it just seemed like a pretty good fit for me to get into, the investment world and insurance world.
And this goes back to your mom not wanting you to play football
because
you get hurt. She was worried you get hurt.
She was worried I was going to get hurt.
But all your buddies were like, "Hey, come on out and play."
Yep.
And you got to see both sides of the track or both sides of the fence, you know, being at Lebanon and then to Cedar Crest. And then you always had in your back pocket, because eventually, you know, they say the NFL stands for, you know, not for long, right?
Yep.
So you had something planned, you know, you had something that you knew you liked to do and you were good at.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, were you always like good at numbers and figuring things, or
Yeah, I think I think you know, math was probably my best class, right? The one I liked the most, that was easiest for me, it seemed like. So that seemed to be, and that's probably why finance was the natural fit.
Natural fit. Yep. And going through playing, you know, middle school, high school football, and then into college, what position did you play?
Well, I played them all as a kid. You know, I was running back, quarterback, you know, all over on defense. So I played a lot of positions.
What was your favorite?
I don't know. I would say I always loved running the football. I loved being a running back. And I like quarterback too, but running back just seemed to be something that was a little bit something more special for me. You know, I really enjoyed it.
What it was, or like,
no, just, I think, you know, you have the football and
it's all on you.
They got to bring you down. Yeah. Right. So it is all on you in that regard, but I liked it. I liked that position. And, probably because that was the position I played most of as a kid, mm-hmm. you know? So you tend to dream about that, and you know, that's the position you want to be at, you know, and then reality sits in when, for me at Ohio University, I was a walk-on. So for me, it was like, you know, not only do I got to make this team, but where can I fit, you know, where can I
that's
fit, a good point. Where can I make, where can I get on the field?
Make
at?
An impact.
Yeah. And for me, it ended up as an outside linebacker. And I became a starter there and started for 3 seasons at Ohio where I was eligible to play. I think at that point, you know, that position for me, that what's your favorite spot on the field, I could see clearly it was on the defensive side. You know, I really, really enjoyed it, learning the game. There's a lot to know there. So that's how I played from there on. It was always on the defensive side of the ball.
Wow. And you were a walk-on, and then you were a starter for 3 years.
Yep.
That says a lot. I mean, that's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of dedication. It's not something that's given. You earned that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think regardless of how you get there, whether you walk on, you're an invited walk on, or you're a scholarship player, everybody has to work hard. It's no different for anyone else at that point. Because if you don't do that, not for long, right? You won't be there for long.
Right.
So that working hard never, was something that I was afraid of, right? I embraced it. I loved that. What I do feel about that time at Ohio is being fortunate. There are so many kids that try to do that, and a lot of them are really good. And it's about timing. It's about staying healthy. It's about being at the right place at the right time. So I was really, really fortunate. You know, on top of also being a kid that embraced that work ethic, you know? Mm-hmm. So I, to me, it was the combination of all of it, you know, you need to do all of the right things all of the time. And then you need some breaks, you know, you need to find that right place and be at the right situation at the right time. And maybe, things will be good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's preparation, right? You prepare yourself for those opportunities. Then when you get them, you know, that's your time, you know, mm-hmm. to make or break. So, okay. So let's pick up then from college, talk about your journey to the Eagles. Let's talk about that. And then I want to get back to, you know, coming home and starting your business.
Yeah. I when I came out of Ohio, my senior year, I kind of thought that I was going to be drafted in the later rounds or sign with the team as a free agent immediately. And it just never happened for whatever that reason was. I don't know. It just didn't happen. I came home. I actually played a season in Chambersburg with a semi-pro football team, the Chambersburg Cardinals. And towards the end of that year, that season, I got a phone call from the Philadelphia Eagles to come in for a workout. And I did. And I signed that day with them.
Wow. Okay. What would your mom say?
Well, I didn't have to ask her for her approval this time.
This time, yeah, but still, now you're going to the big league. Like, this is big, you know?
No, she was really excited about that. You know, she was really excited. So it was an awesome experience. And when I signed with them, I just stayed there. and was with them for the entire off season and through all of the camps, and I had a lot to learn. And my biggest challenge was coming from college, where I was a 205-pound undersized outside linebacker.
Yeah.
To go to the NFL, where all of these guys are going to be 240, 250 okay. as outside linebackers. So I knew that that was not the position for me. So I would have to learn how, you know, to play safety.
Okay.
Strong safety, free safety, or cornerback, somewhere in the secondary. And, you know, I never really played there a whole lot. I did my freshman year at Salem. I was a starting corner. So that was the only real experience, but boy, I needed so much help. Tom Bettis was my secondary coach. I think he was a little frustrated at first, but, you know, that changed over time because I worked at it and I studied. I worked hard in the weight room. I was as fast as I could possibly get and as strong and as big as I could possibly get. But, you know, learning the game and learning your position and knowing how to play with leverage and all of that just takes time and experience. And you know, I just had to try and do that as fast as I possibly could. And thankfully, it worked out well because, you know, when we started playing preseason games, you know, for someone like me, a free agent that comes in there and you're only going to bring 80 guys into camp, you know, let's be honest, I was probably close to 80.
Yeah.
Right. And, right, and those yeah. are the first guys that get sent home or never see the field, even in preseason. And the first game that we played over in London against the Cleveland Browns. They put me in the second quarter and I played the entire game then.
Whoa.
And I had a really good game. And that changed things, you know? And for me, my whole football experience really was, I was more motivated by finding out whether or not I can play at the next level.
Challenging yourself.
You know, yeah. In high school, at the end of my high school career, I'm like, you know, can you play at the next level? I'm not so sure, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give it a shot, and I did. And, you know, at the end of that career, I felt the same way. Like, you know, I don't know if I can play at that next level. I think I can. You would need the opportunity to do that. So having been given that opportunity and having spent some time in Philadelphia, my confidence really grew. And I kind of felt like, yeah, I think that I can do this and I can probably play and have a career, if not in Philly, somewhere else, perhaps, you right. know? So after that first year in Philly, I was the last guy waived. And all the coaches talked to me, including Tom Bettis. Mm-hmm. And, I kind of felt like they were going to bring me right back. And that never happened. I signed with the Buffalo Bills and I was with Buffalo in 1990, the following year.
Okay.
And hurt my knee in the last preseason game. And I felt like I was close there too, you know, like really on the bubble, yeah. Could have gone either way. It didn't matter because I was hurt and I was put on IR.
Okay.
At that point, I couldn't play that season. And at the end of the season, the Buffalo Bills threw me into the combine with a bunch of other kids for this newly formed professional football league called the World League of American Football. So, you know, went to the combine and it was they did a great job with it. You know, it was very, very well done. I was drafted by Sacramento Surge. I went out there and played for two seasons. We won the World Bowl in the second year. I was a starter. I played in the secondary. We had really good players on our team. Top names, Louis Riddick from ESPN,
okay.
Bill Goldberg, the wrestler. Our quarterback was David what? Archer from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We had a lot of studs on that football team. It was quite the experience.
Tom Gerhart being one of them.
Well, thank you for that. After we won the World League, That championship game, probably 3 days. I was back in Sacramento and got a phone call from Philly, and I'm on the plane going back. And now our new head coach was Rich Kotite, and the defensive coordinator was Bud Carson.
Okay.
But they wanted me to come back. So I came back, and, you know, you're coming off of a full season in a World League, a little bruised up and beaten up a little bit, some hamstring issue, but mm-hmm. I went through all of the mini camps and voluntary camps and went right into training camp and went, you know, I made that football team.
Yeah.
So that was...
You made it.
Well, you know, yeah. I was actually on the practice roster for most of the year. And then at the end of the season, I was activated and I actually played on all special teams and was just so close of getting on the field defensively. And that year we made the playoffs and we went into New Orleans and beat them up in a wild card game and then went to Dallas and lost. And that year was the year that the Cowboys were Super Bowl champs.
Right.
And then at that point, I had a little crossroad there. Like, you know, do I re-sign? I re-signed with Philly for another year, and it didn't work out, you know, with the people that they brought in from the draft and free agency. It just didn't seem to be a whole lot of room for me, although I gave it my best shot. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day for me, and, you know, with my age at that point, I was given the opportunity to play in the Canadian Football League. In the World Football League suspended operations, the team I played for in Sacramento was top-notch. Jack Youngblood was part of that. Okay. Kay Stevenson was our head coach. Jim Haslett was a coach. We had some big guys there that, you know, everyone knows when it comes to the football world. And our owner, Fred Anderson, they weren't ready to stop playing. So they petitioned the Canadian Football League, and Sacramento became the first U.S. team based in the United States to play in the CFL. And the phone call I got from Kay was, hey, we want you to come. Yeah. I want you to be our safety, you know, and I just couldn't turn that down. You know, I wanted to be there. I wanted to be with that organization. I wanted to be with that coaching staff. And it was really exciting, something new. And I felt like, you know, this is where I can go to play mm-hmm. and feel like, you know, I don't have to look over my shoulder all the time.
Right.
And that's where I finished my career. You know, I played in Sacramento and then I played in San Antonio, and it was honestly the same organization. They just moved because of the stadium. And then I played for Hamilton and Edmonton.
Wow. So you have a long, rich history of playing football.
Yeah.
I mean, all over the country and up in Canada. And I like that you, how do I say, adapted, right, from being a linebacker where your main priority is to run downhill, you know, to being a cornerback or free safety, like Cooper DeJean or DeJean, you know, however you say. I mean, like, you've always kind of adapted, and like you said, knowing that, you know, being a part of the Eagles organization, having to look over your shoulder, you wanted a place where you could contribute and be a part of the team but not have to have that worry of, okay, is there somebody, the next, you know, the next best thing, or, you know, is the grass always greener? So, wow, you really had a go of it, and you brought with one of the championship rings, and that was from the World Bowl?
World Bowl in 1992.
1992, yep. Wow. And there will be photos up on American Grown Podcast, Facebook, and Instagram for the listeners, but yeah, let's take a sip break. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer.
You know, I'm fortunate, man. I am so lucky and fortunate in that regard. When I look at that and think back and reflect on that, I'm like, phew, I don't know, whatever that fire I had, you know, I'm thankful for that, you know, because
yeah,
trust me, plenty of times I wanted to, like, walk, you know,
right,
and
right.
just do something else. But
you stuck with it, yeah. you know, and it, a lot of people, that's their dream, you know, and you were living people's dreams, you know, because you worked hard and you stuck to it. Now, let me say this, your mom and dad, like, what did your parents do? What were they like? You know, you had to get this from somewhere. Your
yeah.
go-to, you know,
that's,
your spirit, you know?
That's a good question. Yeah. My dad really was not much of an athlete, you know. I mean, he had a hard time shooting a basketball. My dad was a race car driver.
Okay.
And I kind of grew up around that, too, as a kid.
Like dirt track?
Infield, yep, Reading Fairgrounds. Okay. He won a lot of races. He was really good. And I was always really proud of him. And I loved going to all the races and cheering for him. But, you know, there was just something. I'm the youngest in the family. And I may be the only one that really played any of the sports. And, then of course, I played them all, you know.
Yeah.
So who knows? You know, we really don't know the answer to that, I guess. But
yeah,
I was just a little different.
And your mom, you know, what was she doing?
Yeah, she not much of an athlete either, you
okay.
know.
Yeah.
But she was the best fan that you could ask for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the best fan. Yeah,
just your mom, you know. Yep,
that's right.
Yep. I think every son would say that. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Because you know you love your dad, but mom's your number one fan.
Yep.
You know for sure. So, you know, getting out of football, you know, okay, you realize, all right, I'm done. Some of these bruises, you know, or it's starting to take effect, you know, you're feeling a little bit. What was it like coming back to, did you come back right away to Lebanon and start, you know, Gerhart Financial Services or
no?
Yeah.
I, you know, it wasn't a simple walk away from the game. I think I was 33 at the time and felt like I have a couple more years to play. 'Cause honestly, for me, and something that I'm, again, feel very fortunate about, that I seemed to get better as I got older. I was faster, I was stronger, I was smarter, and I had more experience every year after year after year, and I just played better.
Yeah.
So when I played my best football when I was 30, 31, 32, just felt like everything clicked right. My body was right.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and
sometimes they say, like, you know, that's when you're getting older in the NFL,
well,
which isn't old.
I seemed to thrive
at
that point. And, I pretty much felt like, yeah, I'm going to be playing up in this league for some time and I'm not interested in walking away from it because
okay.
I really loved it. But unfortunately when I was in Edmonton, I made a tackle and, a teammate came in and tried to, you know, assist. And when he did, he speared me on the top of my head. And at the time I thought, I think he jammed my neck pretty bad. And I was on the turf and took me a little bit to get up.
Yeah.
And my teammate helped me up and I continued to play. And I tried to play out the game. And with about a minute to go in the game, and this hit happened in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So about a minute to go in the game, the team physician, you know, said, you're done. We're going to take your helmet. You're not going to go back in. And immediately we went in to the locker room and got a CAT scan. And from there, it was kind of a blur, but I broke my neck.
What?
Yeah. So it was kind of, you know.
But you played? Wait, but you.
I did. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
You didn't know? I guess
I did
your adrenaline's
not know.
Pumping.
Yep. You know.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And it's not one of these things where I felt like, oh, I need to, you know, play through anything. That's just not it. You know, you played with a lot of pain before, and had I known that that was what it was, I would have stopped. You know, I would have stopped.
Yeah.
But you also have an attitude that you're not walking off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You work so hard to get on, you're just not going to do that.
Especially at that level.
I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah.
So that was it. You know, that was the end of, you know, my playing career. And it took me a little bit, a couple of days to get back home and decide, you know, where I want to have surgery and all of that. I ended up choosing Hershey Medical Center. And then, you know, there was some rehab associated with that. And so it took me a little bit to get my feet on the ground and get situated and get comfortable with the idea of, okay, as a player, I'm not playing anymore. Now, you know, do I want to stay in the game of football somehow? And
right.
And I had a lot of opportunities to do that, and I just chose not to. And that's kind of how I fell into starting out as a financial advisor. There was a local guy that brought me into his office and where I could learn some things and start the whole studying and being certified in that. And that's a process. It takes a long time.
So, wow. So that could, I mean, so yeah, I just kind of figured, you know, you got out of it and got into financing, but that definitely could have been easy. Cause like you were saying, you're in your prime, you're playing the best you ever could or would, and you have a pretty serious, you know, career ending injury. How do you mentally, you know, how do you move past that?
How do you cope?
Know? Yeah. How do you cope? Yeah. Right.
It's difficult, you know? Yeah. And you know, on a lot of ends there, it's difficult. You know, not only, you know, are you dealing with the physical injury, but you know, now everything that you've been doing for basically your whole life, you can't do anymore.
Yeah.
So it's hard to deal with as well. It's a difficult time, you know, and I'm thankful that I you know, my wife, Katie, was a big supporter. My family and friends, they were great. You know, without all of that support, I'm sure it would have been, you know, so much more difficult. But it took me a long time to adjust and, you know, move on and walk away from it, you know, out of your mind type of thing. But it wasn't easy. You know, right. It took some time.
And do you think that your decision not to, you know, work in the world of football, I mean, obviously you coached and things like that, but do you think that was part of it? You just wanted to cut ties and just...
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. You know, and when I had some opportunities to get into coaching immediately, I just wasn't ready to do that. You know, I wanted to take some time for me to heal. You know, I had some pretty good surgery, my neck, some plates and stuff that are in there. So it took some time. So I couldn't envision, you know, taking a full-time coaching job and dealing with that at the same time. And the other part is, you know, it was, you know, 10 years as a pro, 5 years in college, you're traveling, you're never really home. And for the 10 years, you're up against it. You know, you're fighting for a job every week. You never know if you're going to stick or not. It's a difficult thing. And as a player, I had the opportunity to see it firsthand with coaches. It's no different.
Really?
You know, you're coaching here and gone tomorrow.
Hero you know, to zero, you're somewhere know, else.
And,
yeah.
and I don't know that I wanted that either. You know, especially, you know, experiencing what I had over that 15-year period. So I think I needed a break from it. I wanted to do that. And, you know, the coaching high school, and I even coached at Lebanon Valley College for a couple of years, too, was just fun. You know, it was a way for me to get back into it and yet not do it full time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm thankful for that. Those experiences, too. I coached a long time in football at both Cedar Crest and Lebanon Valley.
Lebanon Valley, yeah. And you mentioned your wife's name, Katie. When did you meet her throughout this?
I met her before I went to Edmonton. Okay. And I was still helping with Cedar Crest football. The head coach was Spike Furman, a great guy, and a teacher at Cedar Crest. And he knew Katie, and he just felt like he needed to be a matchmaker, and he tried for a long time. And one time we finally met, and we met, and we met again, and we met again, and it just, we never stopped seeing each other. So I already, you know, knew Katie prior to going to Edmonton. As a matter of fact, she was on her way out to Edmonton the night I got hurt. Because she was going to fly into Edmonton. We were playing in BC and Vancouver and then, you know, flying into Edmonton. So I know that the team was trying to track her down and try and, you know, get her that message.
Yeah.
And thankfully, though, she was there. You know, she was there to help me and she was there to support, you know, offer all of that support. And we flew back together then.
Yeah.
Into Hershey.
Wow. Shout out to Katie if you're listening. That's because it is so important, I think, to have a rock and a foundation, whether it's, you know, your wife, your husband, your parents, you know, your son or daughter, you know, your friends. It's so important no matter what you do in life, whether it's business, whether it's in the NFL, whether you do it in a podcast, you know, to have a support system that has your back no matter what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's something. So you come back, the financial services, I don't know anything about it, I'll be honest. So for someone that is unfamiliar with financial planning and such, like what are the steps, you know, and how did you then start your own? Because right now at this time you're working under somebody, you're learning from somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The steps for becoming an advisor or?
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Or someone that is looking to use an advisor.
That's what I was thinking. Yes. Yeah.
So when you think about, you know, like what can an advisor do for me? And what tools would they afford me that you don't have type mm-hmm. of thing? So for the most part, what advisors will do for someone would really be, you know, saving money for retirement. There are so many different types of accounts that you can have, and some are tax advantages, some don't. So, you know, you want to utilize all of the things that the federal government gives you from a tax advantage mm-hmm. Point of view. And then, of course, how everything is allocated in a portfolio is there's a lot to that. So I think, you know, when you think about investments, the basics of it would be what type of account should I have? You know, what benefits does that give me? Do I get tax free? Do I get tax deferral? All of those things. There's a lot bunched into that question.
Yeah. So coming out of, you know, playing football, you were learning all this, you know, cause you didn't really have, you had a background in it, but you wanted to get more in depth. When did you start? Was it like 2003 then you launched Gerhardt Financial Services?
Yeah, no, I got into this business, I think, in 2000, 99, 2000. Okay. And I was with Bruce Gogowski in Lebanon. And, you know, somewhere into the end of 2002, I decided that I wanted to do this on my own. I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to have my name on the door. I wanted to do it my way. You know, I wanted to grow and start from the beginning. It's something that I'm familiar with, that, you know, you could start at the bottom and you can just work hard and enjoy the journey. And that's kind of what I did. So yeah, 2003 is when I started, and, I didn't have many clients, and I just, you know, one at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. One at a time approach.
Okay. So now let me see this. If you could go back and give yourself, some advice financially, what would be like one piece of advice? Like we said, someone starting out and you could go back, what would it be now that you know everything you've known over the years?
Save.
Yeah. Save.
Save. You know,
that's it.
Every paycheck that you get, you need to take a portion of that and save it, you know, and you can do that for your own retirement. You can do that for your kids and their own education. There are certain accounts that you can have that really give you a lot of advantages, you know, for higher education. And in today's world, college tuition is very, very expensive, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, I think learning to save money is the key to building wealth. And then how do you save it? And in what type of account do you use? And there are multiple ways to do that. And then, of course, the allocation that goes with that can all be different. But it's pretty simple in that regard. You know, live within your own means, right? Mm-hmm. And save. Because if you don't do that for yourself, no one else will.
Yeah. No
one's going to do that.
Right.
So it is really on you. Social Security is not meant to be your retirement. It will supplement it, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many reasons to do that. You really need, people today need to save as much as they possibly can.
So for the listeners out there, if they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way that they should contact you to start saving?
They can just call my office, 717-274-8790, or they can email me at tom@gerhardtfinancial.com.
Perfect. I want to dive into the Ann Fund and talk about that. You know, cancer does touch so many lives. I believe roughly an estimated 20 million new cancer cases each year. So talk a bit about your mom and the Ann Fund.
Yeah. My mom was diagnosed with cancer, I want to say in 1996, early 1996. And she still came out, came up to see me in Hamilton to watch me play. And when I came home, you know, it was tough. It was tough to see that. But as a family and friends, we you know, formed that circle around her and tried to support her. And one of the things that we did is we formed a Relay for Life team, in the American Cancer Society Relay for Life. And ironically, it was the first year of that in Lebanon County. So we formed a team and she was part of it. And, you know, she fought for a year and a half, and then we lost her. And I continued to do the Relay for Life, and the whole purpose of that is to raise funds for people, you know, locally, and, you know, for the American Cancer Society. And, you know, you would do multiple types of events, you know, sub sale, car washes, golf tournaments, candle sales, you name it. Sweatshirts, t-shirts. We did as much as we possibly could. We tried to raise as much as we could. In fact, I think it was in the second year, maybe the third year in the Relay, our team raised, I think it was like 48,000. We were number one in the state and third in the nation in the Relay That's for phenomenal. Life events for 12 people or less to raise that kind of money.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Just doing little things, you know?
Yeah.
But I got to the point where all of these little things, maybe we should be thinking about this differently. Mm-hmm. And with the sports background, and I'm like, you know, let's try to do a sports auction. My brothers are race car drivers, and they were a big help too early on with getting items. And I used my brother's garage for the first two auctions, I believe. And you know, it was meant to be the, you know, shave down what you do, the number of things that you do, and focus maybe on one or two. And over the years, the auction is the only one that really survived. And I just kept doing it. Mm-hmm. Just stayed after it and try to do the best I can every year. And we no longer support like the American Cancer Society. All of the money that we do raise goes to the Secular Cancer Center here in Lebanon.
Really? That was one of my questions. Yeah.
Well, you know, early on, mm-hmm. that wasn't here.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, what can you do to make a difference in your community? And for me, the only thing that I could do, and the reason that I was really doing it, is in memory of my mom. Right. So has to be cancer related, mm-hmm. or I'm not doing it. Right.
Right.
I didn't want to do it. I wasn't interested in that. It was about her, you know. So for a couple of years, that's what we did. And then after that, I started to, we would raise enough money that we could do this and carve some money out for local families of people that we know that have been affected. And we've probably touched 40 or 50 families here locally over you know, the past 25 years of just, you know, helping them as much as we can. And that's difficult too, because I would never say no to anyone, you know? And then when you're trying to also fund the American Cancer Society and another group, you just can't do a whole lot, because we're not raising a whole lot of money here in this auction. Mm-hmm. As hard as you work at it, you know, I think if we do 20,000 in a year, that's a lot for us. It's typically lower than that. So you have to be careful about, you know, how many entities you're going to give your money to.
Yeah.
A few years ago, we kind of fell into the secular thing. And I'm like, you know, listen, if you're raising money for the sake of cancer in your community, I don't know how secular can't be into that equation. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take me long to just say, you know what, all of the money's going to go there. And a part of what we do, we finance a massage therapy room inside of Secular for all of the patients there. So they don't have to spend any money on that. That's free to them.
Yeah.
We also give a portion of money to their cancer patient fund so that anyone who is in need of financial assistance, who would know better?
Right.
Than Seckler, right? So yeah. And so we give them and arm them with those funds to say, I'm confident that they're going to do a really good job of deciding who gets what, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's been a great fit. And here's the best part of it for me. I didn't even know this until I think 2 years ago. That organization at Seckler, that practice, when it first started, was the same practice that served my mom. So it's kind of funny how that works, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Small world.
And I'm like, you know, it was meant to be. And that, you know, we try to raise money and awareness and support the only cancer center in our own community.
It's all about supporting local and keeping it in the community.
Originally, you know, the fire for me was to do this in memory of her. And got a little choked up. And to keep her alive in me. I really think that was the fire for me, you know, and to witness and watch her fight and go through that struggle is tough. You know, so I keep that mindset, and I did for a long time, and that whatever happened, you know, whoever showed up or however successful or unsuccessful you may deem it to be, I always felt like that didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted to do and give it my best shot. And that was a motivating factor. It's funny though, when you do something like this for this long, although that's still there, you know, and I think about it, obviously, but there are other things that have, you know, jumped on top of that too. Like witnessing all these people from our community and what they do to help this auction over all of these years has been incredible. You know, it almost makes you feel like this is something that you can't not do anymore, you know. And what I mean by that are, you know, people come to this auction, will bid up an item and they'll bid against themselves so that it brings more money in. Yeah. They'll buy the item and then a year later, they're going to donate it right back.
Wow. Yeah.
And that happens so often. And the number of people that do that, it just blows you away.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It really does.
So let's talk about the auction, because that is coming up March 29th.
Yep.
What time, where at, and how can they be a part of this?
Hebron Catering Hall. Doors open at 5:30. And how that night will look, we'll make a couple of announcements around 6:15 or so, and then around 6:30, 7 o'clock, we'll start closing some silent tables. So how that night looks, we're going to have about 70 items. 25 will be auctioned off orally, and it'll be the top 25 items that I have. The other 45 will go off silently throughout the night, and they're broken out into four different tables, and we'll go with one table and we'll go to the next table and to the next table, and every 20 minutes that's how we'll do it. And there's bid sheets there so everyone can bid against each other. So that's kind of how that evening goes, and then we'll do the top 25. And I'm going to play, last year we played a few videos that were, it just was outstanding, and I'm going to do the same this year. I think this year is going to be a great one again. So it's a good night. I think it'll be over by 9:30. This one will go a little bit longer than before, because we have a few more items in that top 25. And we'd like to spend the time that they deserve, because I'm telling you, we have some really, really good items.
Can you share some of the topics?
You know, Kobe Bryant basketball.
Wow.
Michael Jordan basketball. Larry Bird jersey.
Okay.
All
autographed.
Mike Schmidt.
Wild. Yeah.
Baseball bat. Mickey Mantle baseball. I have our number one item is a local jeweler here, BT O'Donnell. Made a one of a kind ring, and it is just beautiful. If you are an Eagles fan,
you gotta
you're gonna want this ring.
Bid on it.
You're gonna want it. I want it. It may not even make it there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's was Andrew O'Donnell the O'Donnell? And I did see that on the
post. So that'll be our number one item. But I'm telling you, all 25 in that top 25 list are outstanding items. They really are. They're really, really good. We have a great selection. So I'm hoping for a good night there. And it's $60 at the door, $50 if you buy a ticket in advance. And the only way you can really get that ticket is to come to my office at 400 South 12th Street.
Okay, I was going to ask, how do you get tickets?
Yeah, you can call me or email me, and I can make arrangements for people. But ultimately, you'll need to come in there to get the ticket.
Okay.
And you know, it'll only be $50. And listen, the reason is, this is not a money thing at all. And we're celebrating the 25th year for this. And really, the only thing I'm asking differently this time is that I have an idea of who's coming. I've never have known that in any of the other auctions, because we never did the tickets in advance like that.
Okay.
Or pushed it. And we made tickets to sell, but everyone would just get them at the door, you know, and I could never really plan accordingly, because it is catered by Hebron and they do a great job. So food and beverage, beer and wine, and then there's a cash bar. But, you know, I think for this time, I really wanted to know, get a better handle on how many people were coming. So that's kind of why I did it this way this time.
$50, food, wine, beer, music.
Yep, okay. The music. Again, you know, there's some videos. It's going
to
be good.
And the videos, just because I've never been there, it's new to me. The videos, are they like sports related? Are they inspirational? What are they?
Well, what are they like? Last year we played two videos, and one of them was a video made by the Cedar Crest Broadcasting Department. And I'm telling you, these kids are top notch.
Talented.
It was incredible. And they went into Seckler and did some interviews, and talked to some patients and some doctors. They interviewed me, and they put this thing together for like a 7 or 8 minute thing to talk about the auction. They're going to do the same thing this time.
Nice.
Last year, we also had a video on what I thought was my favorite item of all time, and that would have been the Miracle on Ice jersey signed by the entire team. And right before that thing went off the block with the auctioneer, all the lights went down and a video came on, and my daughter Sam made this video for me, and we used footage from YouTube, and we took a clip from the movie Miracle on Ice with Kurt Russell when the locker room speech.
It's inspirational speech, yes. That gets you going.
And we played it. Uh-huh. And everyone in the whole place was just like, yes!
Going out of their chair, they're ready. Yeah.
And then at the end of his speech, you watch the players come out of the locker room and get onto the ice, and then we cut to the actual footage of the last 60 seconds of the real game. And we just listened to Al Michaels make the call.
Yeah.
And it was really awesome.
Goosebumps.
Right? Oh, I feel them now. I'm just talking about it.
I got to watch the movie.
And I even said, you know, that was so neat. I don't know how you can ever beat that.
Yeah.
And I was almost like depressed over it. Like, well, what am I going to do now?
Oh, how are you going to top it? Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we're going to top it, but I think we're going to match it.
Yeah.
Right. So I have another Jim Craig picture. He was the goalie from the Miracle on Ice team. So I got something from him. We got a little video on him. I may have something from Randall Cunningham. I'm not so sure. I have items from him. We'll see there what I have. I got something for the ring.
For the ring? The
Eagles,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not really telling a whole lot of people. I want them to be a surprise, but there are more videos this time than last time.
You got to come to the auction. You got to see it for yourself. You got to be there.
It'll be fun. It'll be good.
So the items, do people donate a lot? Like, how do you, because you're some big name, you know,
Yeah.
big ticket items. How?
that has evolved. You know, early on, it was just really curious, hard. Yeah. You know, early on, I can remember writing letters to every NFL team and getting a few things in the mail, like a pennant or something. But and at this point, that's not what we're looking for anymore as far as an item go. But I think, you know, when you do it for a while, people catch on and they know that what you're doing, and it's legit. Mm-hmm. And you're really trying to make a difference here in your own community, you know. We have these good people in our community, and they're everywhere. And they just jump in. You know, it seems like when I get a little down about this on how, you know, like, where am I ever going to find some more items, or how am I ever going to do this or do that? Somebody seems to donate something, you know, and I'm like, there you go, you know, right. And it gets you a little fired up, and then, you know, something else happens, and then before you know it, we have 70 items.
That's amazing. That's a lot.
Some of the items we go around and ask for local restaurants and stuff, and we put them all into a basket with maybe a bottle or two of wine.
Can't go wrong there.
Sub shops, we do the same thing with that.
Yeah.
A dinner for two type of thing.
Okay.
You know, I have some friends, and one of them, one item that we have that I think is really good if you're a hockey fan, especially a Flyers fan, a former player offered to bring three people into the alumni suite with him. They can pick any game they want to go to. All your food and beverage is included. He said, you know, I need to be there, but I'm not staying for the whole game.
Yeah.
You'll be on your own, but multiple players will come in and out of there. You know, so that I think that's a really good item. Yeah,
that's something, you know, you remember, you know, and you take your son or daughter or whoever you take. Wow.
So it's not always about the item. You know, a trip is a good item, right? Mm. You know, there's a lot it's of memories. Those that, see, memories, that, yeah. that you see. But you know what? Over the years, it's really neat when you have a couple of really good pieces. And I'm telling you, we do. You know, in our top 25, some of these items, I don't know how you're ever going to find any of them. Honestly, the Kobe Bryant basketball is a big item.
That is rare.
Yes.
I mean, that's,
you know, the Jordan thing is huge. That ring is huge.
Yeah.
You know, all of the ones in the top 25, you can go to theandfun.com. Look on our website. There's a few photos in there, but there is a list of all the items. Now, I don't know that it's going to be updated with all 70. I think the last time that we submitted that, we were probably around 50. I don't know that you'll see the Eagles ring on there, but you should see photos on there pretty soon. But if you want to get a chance to see what some of those items are, you can just by logging on and looking.
Yeah. And like you said, shout out to the community here in Lebanon County and how close, you know, like you said, for what's this, the 25th anniversary, right?
25
years.
Yep.
That's a long time to be doing something. And the fact that people are coming around, supporting, donating items or donating their time or whatever it may be, it's like, it says a lot about what you're doing, Tom. And you know, I know you know this, but your mom's proud of you. And the fact that people are coming out for the 25th anniversary to do this, it says a lot, you know, because people tend to, I think, give up, or if they don't really believe in it, you know, they won't follow through.
Yep.
Or, you know, maybe 2-3 years it'll go on. But for 25th anniversary, 25 years of doing this, that says a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Making a lot of impact.
It does. And I, like I said, you know, there have been some at times that people have said, well, you know, what you do, Tom, and you know, you work so hard. And listen, I'm going to set the record straight. This is not about me. It has never been about me. And there are so many people involved in this, and that changes from year to year. And you know, I may have someone come in and they'll help for 2 or 3 years and then that's it.
Yeah.
You know, but someone else seems to always take their place. And that's what I'm saying. We live in a great community with great people.
100%.
And a lot of that, all of them are so inspirational, and you know, they should be acknowledged as much as me. That's how I see that, you know, and all of the people that come and support it, you know, without them, this doesn't work. right? Yeah. You know, yeah. And we seem to found a place where, you know, we're at a good spot. We get a good crowd, not what I would like to at times, but it's good enough. And you know, every good thing has an end, you know, and yeah. For me, I'm not so sure about what I'm going to do. And, you know, when I first started this, I would have never have imagined that I'm going to be sitting here talking to you saying,
yeah,
in 2 weeks, we're going to have our 25th auction. I never would have thought that. And the reason why there is because of all the people that support me around me all the time.
Yeah.
Honestly, without that, it would have never have happened. And looking at this thing now, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. I almost feel like I need a break. I kind of do. I've done it before. So you can take a break. That doesn't mean that it'll never come back, but you don't know. Sometimes you may lose some momentum. I don't know. I would be a little worried about that. But at the same time, I'm feeling that, like, you know, I don't know. And one of the reasons I say that is the thing that I like to take a break from, the hardest part about this auction, honestly, it's not the work. It's the asking of people to do the same thing year in and year out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to do that. And I see people come in and they, you know, you're asking them to spend some money and a lot of money. And that's difficult. And it's the same people.
Right.
You know,
but they do it because they care and because they want to.
Yeah. And I care too. And it makes me feel like, you know, maybe a year off is good for everyone. You know, I mean, your basements are only so big,
right?
Yeah. Maybe we take a year off and you can expand your house.
There you go. Right. Do an addition.
We need
do an
more
addition.
Wall space.
Right. In the man cave. Right. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. And then when we come back,
we'll
have more stuff for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm going to do. I have not decided on that. And I told myself that this is how I'm going to approach that. I am all in on this auction. Everything that I have, I'm all in. And after it's over, I'll give that some thought.
Yeah.
But I'm not saving anything or holding anything back.
This is the one. This is the big one. This is the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always said that, you know, going through all of these auctions, that you almost really need to have everything needs to come together. You need to have the perfect storm to really raise some good money. You need to have the right items. You need to have the right venue. Your items, you need a couple really top-notch things. You need just a good environment. You need good food, and you need good people. And listen, we have all of them.
Checks all the boxes.
All of them
this
time around. So I'm hoping that this is a special night.
There you go.
Yeah.
For the listeners, remind us again, how can they connect? Where can they get a hold of you for financial advice or the AND Fund?
The AND Fund, the best place is to go right to the website, theandfund.com. And on there, it'll have my email address if you are inquiring about purchasing tickets. It'll just send you right to my email. My business is, we also have a website too, GerhardFinancial.com. And on there, it'll direct you any way you want to go at that point. Anyone can feel free to always call me at my office, and I always make myself available.
Before we close out, is there anything else you'd like to talk about that I might not know or might not be familiar with?
No, I think we covered it. It's been a pleasure. This has been a lot of fun. I think you're really great. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you, Tom, for your time. Tom Gerhardt, president of Gerhardt Financial Services, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to KleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.